This is a prophetic word to leaders in this last day that the Lord has led me to give. We are in a day and a time where there are a whole lot of titles and there are a whole lot of people calling themselves a whole lot of things other than just a servant of the Lord, and I'm saved. So we're living in a day where you have apostles and you have prophets and you have pastors and you have teachers and evangelists and you have a whole lot of titles and a whole lot of offices, and we're low in the anointing. We have churches, they're big, they're huge, they're multi-million dollar ministries. They're in the inner city, they're right there in the ghetto where the crime is going on, where the drug dealers are, yet they have all this anointing, they claim to have all this faith, but they can't believe God to deliver the city and give them the city. And so it is in this time, we really need to go back to mentorship and discipleship. Mentorship and discipleship. We have a lot of people doing a whole lot of things nowadays who really have not been mentored and discipled. They want to get saved on Monday, ordained on Tuesday, and sent out on Wednesday. Then they want to get a church on Thursday and want to be called and anointed with a title on Friday, and it just doesn't work that way. And see, today, leaders are in a position where if we're not careful, that God will deal with us and get us out of the way. Because the Bible says, smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. And we're in a day right now where everybody wants to be leader. Everybody wants to lead people, and everybody wants to be a father, but nobody wants to be fathered. And so, it's just easy right now. You can get online and get an ordination. You can go somewhere and get a Bible and read and go online and get your little certification and get your little ordination card and call yourself an evangelist and you a prophet and you a bishop and you're an apostle. And it's on paper, but it's not in the spirit realm because God did not call you. And see, the Bible tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. And then we add to that, with ministerial training, I add to that, many are called and few are chosen, and some were sent and some just got up and went. Because we have a whole lot of people getting up in their own strength and going to do things that only God can ordain you to do. And when you get up as a David to go try to fight a Goliath and God has not sent you, instead of you leaving with Goliath's head in your hand and being able to have the power to cut his head off with the sword of the Spirit, you'll leave there defeated. And so today in this time, this is just a word and a message to leaders, because God has sent me to leaders because we're in the day and the age that is crucial. These are the last days. It's time for the consummation of all things. It's time to get up and go. And so in this day, we have a lot of people who are in the face of the people. They're in the face of the public. And when you're up before people and you're in the face of the public, people look after you. People look at you and what you do, and they follow you. Paul told the people, follow me as I follow Christ. And the key there is to follow me only as I follow Christ. So going back to discipleships and mentorships, the reason we can't see the power of God, because if I'm going to follow you, if I'm going to allow you to mentor me and allow you to disciple me and allow you to follow me, then I have to see an anointing on your life. And when you look around, you have a lot of people who have titles in their positions, but they have no anointing. My God, they can't pray away a headache, but we can pray down some money. And God has given us faith not to get things. Faith is not to get things. Faith is not to get things. The scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you are to speak those things. You are to call those things that be not as though they were. And though we know that money does answer all things, God did not give us faith to get cars and buildings and houses and money. God gave us faith to believe him for an existence, to believe him for life, to believe that he can come into our life and cancel that spirit of anger we got, to believe him to come into our life and bind up that cussing demon, to come into our life and stop us from drinking, to come into our life and do all those things that when he saved us and snatched us out the street, because the Bible tells us that without holiness, no one will see God, not even me. So if I get out of my pocket and I get out of it and I start acting a fool, though I'm called and I'm ordained and I'm a preacher, prophet, and all of that, me with myself and my title and whatever I think that I am, if I get out of pocket, God will snatch me up and put judgment on me. And so the thing is, in this day, it is more key for leaders to be in pocket. We have apostles. We have people who call themselves apostles. But when you look at the Bible says the mark of an apostle is that wherever that apostle goes, you do miracles, signs, and wonders. The work of an apostle is, the gifting of an apostle is, you are sent to the earth realm. The word apostle means sent one. And so we get that word from the Romans, because in the Romans, you had the Caesar, you had the Roman emperor, you had the emperor of Rome. And when he sent somebody, he had a whole, he had a large territory. So if he controlled this region over here, he would have an ambassador or somebody he would send as an emissary or an, quote unquote, an apostle. When that person went to the other land, all the power that the emperor of Rome had in Rome, when he sent that person to the other land, they had the same power wherever they went. So as an apostle, you are somebody. An apostle is somebody who is sent from God to the earth realm to witness of the word of God and the power of God. An apostle goes to an area where the word of God has not been preached, and they go to that area and they teach. And they preach the word of God, and the Bible lets us know through Paul that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow, confirming that word, so that the people that hear the word will believe the word. And Jesus said, if you don't believe me for what I say, believe me for the works that I do. And so they perform signs, miracles, and wonders so that the people may believe. And once they believe the word, the Bible tells us that the people in the book of Corinthians were partakers of Paul's grace. That word grace, charis, where we get the word charisma. Also where we get, that's the root word for gifts, the gifts. So gifts are an apostle. So once an apostle preaches that word and those signs and wonders happen and people get healed and delivered and he casts demons out and deal with the witches and the warlocks and all the stuff in that area, then he has the ability to lay his hands and impart the elders and impart to pastors and place leadership in that area. And when he leaves that area, he consecrates an elder or a bishop in the area. And that's the next area that we're going to, because we're going to the area of bishop. Nowadays, you got a bishop around the corner and a bishop down the street and a bishop behind me and one sitting beside me and one down the street. Bishop just everywhere, because it's the thing to do. But the Bible tells us that if you consider the office of a bishop, that it is a good work, but there are some qualifications for you if you are to be a bishop. And one of them says a husband of one wife. Now, we need to understand with that scripture, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to keep going, but with that scripture, we need to understand the grammatical, historical approach to studying scripture, and we need to understand the political, religious systems that were there at that time, and we need to understand the cultural backgrounds. Because though the Bible says husband of one wife, you have to look at the times. That does not mean that a female cannot be a bishop. If a female is a bishop, then she needs to be the wife of one husband. You can't be a bishop and you've been divorced 20 times. That's not the Bible. Because how can you have hundreds and thousands of people under you and operate in faith and have a word to deliver them out of their situation, but yet you didn't have enough faith to have God deliver you out of yours? If you got that much faith, get on your knees and pray to God and fast and pray. And if you have that much anointing, let that anointing that is on your life work. You should have had enough anointing to be able to pray and to fast and let God resolve that situation. And these are for the leaders in the church. These are for the leaders in the church. These are for people who God has called to the flock. We're held to a higher standard, not the person that is not saved, not the person who is just a lay member. But if God has called you to be a leader, then these are qualifications that you must meet, because he said it, not I. And we're in a time today where there's not enough leaders to be able to pull and draw disciples, because there has to be something about you to be able to draw and maintain people that God sends to you. Again, with the evangelist, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the gifts of the ministry are for the perfecting of the saints. Nowhere in there does it say that an evangelist is sent to the world to save souls, because that is the sole purpose of everybody who declares that they name the name of Christ. Those fivefold ministry were given to perfect the saints, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, to build us up to our stature, our correct measure in Christ. And so we have to really check ourselves, and we have to look around, and people who are looking for places to worship and looking for places to go, and you know, people talk about saints, they bounce here, they go from this church, they go to that church, they leave this one, they go to that one. Well, they're looking for something in a leader that they can sit under. They're looking for integrity, they're looking for anointing, they're looking for the call of God on their lives. They know that the leader is not going to pimp them of their money, that the leader is not just going to preach faith, 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 so the people can just give, 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 and then everybody, you know, is blown up, the church is getting big, and everything's just getting big and expanding, but people still delivered. People are still not delivered. Excuse me. People are not delivered. People are still not healed. People are still bound. And so one of the biggest things today is, because the Bible tells us to take heed, because there will be seducing spirits in these last days, and even if the elite could be deceived, if it were possible. And so today we have a whole lot of people, and they're on national level, international level, and they're preaching the word. And they're preaching the word. And we think because they preach the word and they got good revelation and they preaching the word and their church is big and they traveling and doing this, that God called them. But Jesus warned us about wolves coming in sheep's clothing into the church because they were preordained before. And so it is with leaders. God has just called us to a higher standard. He's calling us to take heed in this last day. And so in our Bibles, if we could go to Joshua chapter 7, and I'm just going to touch on a few scriptures and a few passages in the Bible to prove how God deals with us as leaders. Because one of the main things in this time, this day and age, is nobody wants to offend anybody. I can't tell you that homosexuality is wrong in the church. I can't tell you can't be the choir director because your wrist broke. I can't tell you that you can't be up in here as long as you're sleeping with everybody in the choir. I can't tell you that we don't listen to that type of music up in here. If you're going to be in here on the praise team, that you can't go out there and listen to everything you want to listen to. I can't tell you that sisters need to keep your skirts down and men keep your pants up, because then you get offended and leave. And I know I want your tithe. See, that's our problem. We want the tithe. We want the tithe, but that's another situation. That's going to be a whole another message. And we're going to break down the real tithe. We're going to break down what the Bible really says about the tithe. Because that's another message as leaders. We really need to get delivered and stop preaching stuff that we know is not the Bible. A lot of ministers and a lot of preachers are in churches, and this is the art that God has with you, because when you started out and God called you, you built your church from the foundation with not one member and not one tithe. But now that you got your church, you want to build your church off the faith and the money that you get every month. Because, see, you don't have to use faith when you have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, coming into your ministry every month. You know how the bills are going to get paid. You know how this is going to get paid. You know how the mortgage is going to get paid. You know your budget, and you know what you have to work with. So where is your faith? Your faith is in the people. So you devise and you take your preaching to keep the people, because without the people, you won't have the money. And we've just totally missed the spirit behind giving. And that's one of the things that God is going to reveal in this last times. In these last times, there's going to be a judgment. We've been, the church as a whole, and I don't care if I'm the only one saying it, the church as a whole has been preaching tithing for years. The Catholic Church is one of the biggest institutions on the face of the planet, and they're one of the most demonic. They own more money and more territory than any other religious denomination and any other organizations. Than some of these other organizations. Because of the tithe, because of the tithe, because of the tithe. We take that tithe. I'm going to take a couple minutes to talk about the tithe, and then we're going to go to Joshua. I'm going to talk about the tithe. We go to it, and you don't have to tell a mature saint, first of all, to give to the house of God, because we're mature. We know bills need to be paid. We know things need to happen in the house of God. But the Old Testament is still the Old Testament. Out of all the theological arguments and all the scholasticism that we want to throw out there to try to make it sound good, it's still in the Old Testament. And Christ still tells us in Colossians that when he was nailed on the cross, he nailed the writings of the law to the cross with him. The law is indeed done away with. When you go back to Malachi, you will literally find out that that whole chapter, that book, that was written to the priests. It was a rebuke to the priest. I know we don't do that anymore, but it was a rebuke to the priest. The priest were the one who were responsible for the maintenance of the house of God and what went on in the house of God and what happened in the house of God, and encouraging the people to give gifts, not out of a mandatory gift, but to give a gift out of your spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews that he now takes sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, not sacrifices of your hand, spiritual sacrifices. And so that chapter was a rebuke to the priest, because the priest was bringing God junk. And as a priest, you cannot bring God nothing but a spiritual sacrifice. That's how somebody that's not saved can come in church and worship God in one service and get saved, because God will come in and change their heart. Worship is another form of atonement. So we can't keep teaching things that we know is not the Bible. The last thing I will say on the tithe is this before we go to Joshua, because we're going to get into this thing about leadership before I end this, is that the real spirit behind the tithe, and we've missed it, and we've really missed it. We focused on the economic system of the world. We have apostles and everybody saying the apostolic and moving apostolic, and we have to get the money, because we got to get the money, and we get the money, we get the power, and we get the respect. It's so carnal-minded. We get the money, we get the power, and we get the respect, and so we need the money so we can start to do some things for God, and we can start to do this and do that for God. But God never told me that. He told me to believe. And when I believe, because I already know my spiritual rank is far above every principality, I just decree a thing and it shall come to pass. I don't worry about the money that I have. That's why I have faith. Why do you have to have money for everything if you have faith? Believe God. God will give you everything that you need. God will open up doors for you. It's not real faith. We're seeking after the world system. And we all know that the world operates off of an economic system. And the church is trying to operate off that same system. And God is saying, that's not my way. God's method of giving and method of blessing is the woman who gave one penny. You can give one penny and your heart be right, and God will bless you with everything that you need. And you can have someone whose spirit is not right and give $1 million and nothing happen. Nothing at all. And leaders, we really need to take heed to that and review and go back and study and say what God is telling us to say and stop saying what you were taught and teach and preach what the Bible is saying and not what your quote-unquote spiritual parents say. And I have to touch on that because we have no spiritual parents. God, Jesus said, call no man father. There was a reason for that, because we call people, this is my spiritual father and this is my spiritual mother. The only spiritual parent that you have is God, who is in heaven. They that worship him, because God is a spirit, shall worship him in spirit and truth. Paul said, you have many instructors, but you don't have many fathers. You have fathers and mothers in the gospel, but you don't have spiritual mothers and fathers down here. The only spiritual parent you have is the Father who is in heaven. Now, let's go to Joshua, and I'm going to go over this, a couple of examples, and then I'm going to bring this to an end concerning the book of Joshua. If you go to the book of Joshua, and we're going to talk about Jericho, because Jericho is the story. God told them to go and take Jericho, and they went and took the city. But God gave them some instructions. He told them that when they went into the city, it was some things that they were to do. And the scripture tells us that it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. And God cursed the city, but the prostitute lived. She and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. See, that tells me something, because you can be in sin, you can be in the word, but if you hide the word of God in your heart, God will still deliver you. And you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. And when you take up the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. This is what God said. All the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. So they heard that word from the Lord. They was in church. They shouted. They received it. They did everything. They shouted. They heard it. Now, I need you to go over to chapter 7 of Joshua. And we see in the beginning of the chapter, God tells them to go and take some land. And they go and take some land, and they send the men, their best. And God tells them that they were going to conquer. But then if you continue to read, they did not conquer. And so what Joshua did, now Joshua is the leader. God had already told the leader, the city is cursed, don't take nothing out of it. When they go into battle, they lose. Joshua goes to God in prayer and say, God, well, you know, why did we lose this? And he's down on his knees in prayer. And God basically told him, just shut up, get up off your knees. I don't even know why you're down there, because you already know what's wrong. Somebody in the camp done sinned. The Lord said to Joshua, get thee, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they've taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and disassembled. So he told him to sanctify the people. He called people forward. They found out who had stolen whatever it was. And this is the judgment that God placed on them. Joshua said, why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all of Israel stoned him, and after burned their bodies with fire. And I'll stop right there. The point here is that God called you to be a leader. You have to. You can't just preach the word. You have to be instant in season and instant out. Come on. That means you got to preach it when they want to hear it and preach it when they don't want to hear it. That means you got to rebuke them in the open, and you have to rebuke them behind doors. That means you have to teach holiness and you have to preach holiness. And in this situation, the accursed thing was in the camp. Because if you don't deal with the accursed thing that's in the camp, the whole house will be cursed. And that's why a lot of our ministries are stunted, and you got ministries that have been in the same place for 10 and 20 years because pastors fail to rebuke and correct and go forth in the leadership that God has placed them over. And Joshua got down and tried to pray to God. God said, I'm not even hearing your prayer, because until you as a leader, I called you to be a leader, suck all that up, get up off your face and go in there, have some gonads, have some balls, go in there and confront the problem and deal with that. Then come and deal with me. So until you deal with the problem over there, I'm not going to deal with you. And the Bible said when they dealt with the person who had taken of the accursed thing, when he was found, not just he it was that was stoned, but him, his family, his wife, and all, everybody that was with him that belonged to him. And that gives us the mindset of God towards sin, because God wants nothing that's not like him in his presence. God can't come in the presence of stuff that's not like him. And so these are just some lessons that we need to get out of here. And the last one I'm going to mention is Uzziah, because I know y'all heard of Uzziah, and Uzziah was a king. He was a great king, and he did a lot of great things, and he built a lot of things for the city, and he did a whole lot of things when he was king. But the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16, but when King Uzziah was strong, he became proud to his destruction. He trespassed against the Lord. How did he trespass? The scripture says he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, that was only reserved for the priests. Because, see, some of us as leaders, you a pastor, but you're not the prophet. God has sent you a prophet. Let the prophet prophesy. You pastor. You can't be the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, and all the fivefold ministry gifts in one place. God has sent you people. Let them do their job. But Azariah was the priest. And the priest came after him with 80 other priests of the Lord. They were men of courage. And this says something about the priests and the prophets, because when you see wrong, you go and confront it. Because if the Lord can't keep you and the Lord can't save you, then why serve him? But if God be God, let God be true and let every man be a liar. And the Bible says they opposed King Uzziah. They said to him, it is not for you to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are set apart to burn incense. They told him to back up from the sanctuary. You have trespassed. They told him to back up. I know you king, because the prophet had the scope to go from the priesthood all the way down to the throne. And the priest told him, you know what? I know you king, but this is not your territory. You need to back all that up, because this is God. This is holy. This is consecrated. But the king thought, because he had a position and he was strong and he was who he was, he could do what he wanted to do. And so the scripture says he was enraged, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was enraged with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord. So while he was doing what he was doing and about to open his mouth up to slander and say, while he was doing what he was doing, judgment burst out, and he got judged that instant. And the chief priests and all the priests looked on him, and he was leprous. And they told him to get out the temple, because we just warned you, because the law said if you have leprosy, you can't be in the temple. So now he was from the place of the Lord, the place where the Lord was. He couldn't go in there no more, all because of his pride and his selfishness. All because of his pride and his selfishness. And everyone knows about King Herod. King Herod in the book of Acts, who we are familiar with, King Herod decided one day in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 20, and upon a set day, verse 21, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made him an oration to the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not a man. And the Bible says immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory to God. And the Bible says he was eating the worms and he gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And that's exactly what the scripture says. So they said, okay, he died, but the word of God kept going. So life goes on. And so my final message is just to leaders. This is just a little a warning as well as an encouragement. The Bible is clear that as leaders, you have to teach and rebuke and preach. You cannot let sin go on in the camp and not address it. Because if sin goes on in the camp and you don't address it, after a while, you halt the blessing on the church. And after a while, God begins to get you, because you pumped up in your pride. You're trying to build a big church and a big ministry and an international ministry. And you're trying to do all this. And you're trying to be big. And you're trying to do this and do that and whatever you want to do. But God told us to preach, to teach, to baptize, to rebuke, and to exhort. And so this is just a final exhortation. Be quick in the word. Be instant, in season, and out. Don't be so quick to call people in your ministry your son, because the son has your likeness. And so when your son looks like you and has your likeness, we have to straighten up our lives. As a leader, you need to be off in fastings. Go back to the fasting table. Go back and pray. Go back and seek God. And I'm not talking about a diet. I'm talking about 7 days with nothing in your mouth. I'm talking about 21 days with nothing in your mouth. I'm talking about 30 and 40 days with nothing in your mouth. TV off, food gone, no bread, just some water and your word. And let God birth in you an anointing for this end time, so that you can raise up disciples in this day that will have something in their belly, so that God can do what he wants to do in this last day and age.